Today in the show we have Zentry, the new gaming super layer. Brazilian Central Bank and BIS in the Sustainable Finance Hackathon. Stripe now back in crypto, and so much more. I'm your host, Maurício Magaldi, and this is Block Drops, your weekly digest on blockchain for business.
These news are not a form of endorsement, sponsorship, or encouragement for consumption, and are meant for educational purposes only.
The first drop today is something that we haven't covered too deeply in the recent episodes, although I did see a lot of activity back at ETH Denver, which is Web3 gaming, especially in the play to earn category, which was all the buzz between, say, late 20, early 21, kind of almost early 22. It had its heyday with Axie Infinity and many, many others. But this one is an interesting update on that. So GuildFi, which started off as a scholarship program management solution for Axie Infinity, scholarships was a collective way of buying NFTs, using the NFTs in the game, and then sharing the quote-unquote revenue or rewards from Axie Infinity. They are definitely shifting the focus to something that is more almost like a new infrastructure for gaming in general. So they're rebranding to Zentry. It's designed as what they call a gaming super layer based on blockchain. And the idea is to reach outside of Web3, outside even of gaming, to create a more 360 degree experience for the gamers themselves. According to, I'm going to butcher the name, it's Jarinder Tidadilaka, the CEO and founder of GuildFi, now Zentry, their game of games strategy is very interesting. I'll quote, "Our play economy is the next iteration of play to earn, growing its scope beyond just Web3 or games. Within it, every play, every victory, and every moment not only enriches your gaming legacy, but also benefits your real world self, empowering gamers like never before," end quote. It's just really very, very interesting approach to things, especially in the sense that in many industries, when Web3 came to disrupt said industry, it ended up creating a lot of fragmentation within Web3, not only because of a multitude of blockchains or layers, but also because the sheer lack of interoperability and hideous UX. So this is a welcome development in the gaming space. In their press release, they list a four core verticals or core components, four core components that are integrated throughout Zentry to enable that integrated experience. First is a blockchain infrastructure to bridge Web2 and Web3, especially focusing on data for identity, the assets, and the activity. Then it's a suite of apps that are targeted to consumer, which is designed to onboard different player segments. The third one is what they call a multiversal IP world. I assume that they're going to bring on, they're going to onboard a multitude of different intellectual property from different games into this multiverse or universe. And the idea is that they have parallel and collaborative narratives across these IPs, enable partnerships. And the fourth element, as with most of the Web3 games in this play to earn space, a treasury with over $100 million for strategic expansion and fueling what they call ecosystem incentives. The goal is that these four components will work in sync to get these new play economy available for players across a different set Gaming IP. So very interesting approach to this. I'm glad that we're finding space for the conversation of protocols in specific industries. This pivot from, you know, the GuildFi model of scholarships into a much wide infrastructure play with Zentry seems to be an interesting and I'd risk say very necessary step towards improving UX across Web3, in this case for a very demanding, very high bar community, which is the gaming community. I have been accused of covering CBDCs too much, I might be guilty of that. So I'm going to bring on this second drop today a piece of news that involves both the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements, and the Brazilian Central Bank, which are heavily involved in CBDCs. But in this case, the drop is not about CBDCs. The drop is about sustainability. So they announced a hackathon that's part of the G20 tech sprint that is focused on sustainable finance. And the goal of this is to align many aspects of sustainable finance and come up with technology solutions that will address three challenges that they have listed as part of the goals. And it's a global hackathon, but obviously this is something that we're looking into more in like towards the angle of using blockchain to solve some of these challenges. So the first challenge that they list in the registration website is what they call the nature-based solutions. The idea here is to identify solutions that can be used to incentivize and attract sustainable and inclusive investments targeted at biodiversity and nature preservation. So it's almost like refi or regenerative finance that we've seen emerge in crypto or in Web3 and DeFi in the last, say, year and a half, 2 years, especially around the Celo blockchain. The second challenge is an ESG challenge. ESG is short for environmental, social, and governance. These are solutions that enhance collection, aggregation, and analysis of ESG data to facilitate due diligence, disclosure, and management of ESG risks and opportunities by three categories of participants: large corporates and SMEs, the corporate world, investors and financial institutions, the second category, and third category, regulators and supervisors. Here on the show, we've been very critical of ESG, especially tokenization of carbon credits, because it's a very obscure sourcing or origination of those assets. This might be one way of tackling that. So the technology solutions here should aim at that. Especially they're focusing on high level data quality assurance, such as correct use of units and the aggregation of data to gather all of the ESG data for some of those usages. And the third category is the Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs. The SDGs are the 17 categories or 17 goals, better said, from the UN, the United Nations, on sustainable development. And this particular category is looking for open source solutions that will support the SDG goals and sustainable finance. So very, very integrated across the three categories, but very interesting to see them also separated for specific solutions in this particular challenge. $25,000 for the winner, for the winning project in each category. $5,000 stipend for the teams that will be shortlisted. And the shortlisted teams will also have access to industry experts and may be featured in the report that's going to come out of the Tech Sprint report. Eligible to register are teams that have good track record on developing scalable technology solutions for the challenges that are presented. And the team needs to be over 18 years of age and cannot be employees of the organizing participants. Agree to the terms and conditions of the G20 challenge and the APEX, which is the platform used for the registration. Very interesting to see BIS kind of step out a little bit out of the way of the CBDCs. This is becoming very repetitive here in the show. But interesting to see this come to fruition. I'm hoping to see some of the refi projects that have emerged in the last 18 months in crypto trying to, you know, poke into this particular challenge. And we will be definitely keeping an eye out to see what comes out of this, if these are going to validate some of the projects that we already reported on, or if we're going to see the emergence of new projects, fresh new projects coming into the fold. There's a lot of people that I speak with on a regular basis that think that the killer case for crypto is speculation. And I can't disagree that speculation is one of the use cases or the most popular use cases for crypto. Let's just look in the last couple of months, and the amount of speculation around airdrops kind of tends to confirm the thesis. But it's not the only one. It's probably not the killer case for crypto. I think the killer case for crypto right now is international payments. And it's very interesting to see some of the OG fintechs that have dabbled in a crypto about 10 years ago coming back. Stripe, that fintech that started supporting Bitcoin back in 2014 as means of payment, did it until 2018 during that year's crypto winter, and stepped away from Bitcoin as means of payment because they saw Bitcoin as not only too volatile, but the behavior working more towards store of value rather than mean of exchange, which is obviously their core business. They stepped away from crypto in 2018. They didn't stay away from crypto too much. They did participate as a co-founder in the Libra project, or DM. That was the Facebook-sponsored global currency, basket of currency type digital money, which, as we all know, prompted the wave of CBDCs projects that are still going today. Stepped away from that as well. But back in 2022, and we reported on that, Stripe came back to crypto, introducing an on-ramp process for developers, which is when you get your fiat currency, your real or your dollar, and you use it to pay or acquire crypto. On the other end, so they've been doing that since 2022, according to John Collison, co-founder and president of Stripe. And I quote, crypto is finding real utility. With transaction speeds increasing and costs coming down, we're seeing crypto finally making sense as a means of exchange, end quote. And he's been very specific in which crypto he sees as means of exchange, because this new form of payments in the Stripe offering will cover USDC over Solana, Ethereum, and Polygon, which are the most popular chains where USDC is running these days, right? So not surprising that they are not back on Bitcoin, because I think they still see Bitcoin as a store of value asset, as many people do. But stable coins, and let's not argue about the name of that particular type of technology construct, is being quote-unquote, the disruptor in international payments. So Stripe being well-positioned at that makes perfect sense for them to come back to crypto in that position. It's interesting that they are using Ethereum, and they claim that Ethereum has reduced its gas fees, which in a certain extent is true. But makes sense to use Solana and Polygon that have been presenting increasingly cheaper cost of transaction, which is obviously for a company like Stripe, which is an intermediary of sorts into the payment space, makes perfect sense to have much smaller transaction fees in line with their revenue model. So interesting to see that happen, and obviously interesting to see what will happen, because PayPal, the competitor or the direct competitor, has introduced recently, as we reported on, PUI USD, which is their own issued stablecoin. So let's see what Stripe is going to do in that regard. They are big and robust enough to definitely tackle that front. So all in all, if companies like Visa, MasterCard were huge in the stablecoin space with a variety of projects, including at the protocol level, are doing great advancements on the stablecoin space, it's interesting to see what Stripe is going to do next. In a week packed full of news, here is more. This week, I had the pleasure to represent Midnight at the BananaConf in Tallinn, Estonia. The link in the description has a bunch of photos. Super cool. Thanks so much, Sander, for having me. It was a great pleasure meeting the buzzing Web3 scene in Estonia. Steppen and Adidas will issue co-branded sneakers in a new NFT collection. So if you're Steppen OG, this is coming your way. In the US, Consensus, the maker of the MetaMask wallet and the maintainers of the Base Layer 2 blockchain and Ethereum, are suing the SEC to defend the Ethereum ecosystem. Securitize announced they're partnering with Zero Hash to merge fiat and USDC as the funding rails for their tokenized assets. CPQD in Brazil is partnering with Inventa to launch a Web3 dedicated innovation hub in Campinas. EIP 3074 is a new EIP that's been approved for the next Ethereum upgrade, and it will allow for third-party sponsoring of gas fees, the transaction fees in Ethereum. Visa, the payments giant, launched an on-chain dashboard for stablecoins, covering the most popular stablecoins in the market. A study by the Global Shipping Business Network shows that the EBOL, the Electronic Bills of Lading, could help reduce greenhouse gas emissions between 16.2 and 27.9 kilos per EBL, which is close to 441 metric tons per year. This is using blockchain, folks. Catch us online. We're on Instagram at BlockDrops Podcast, on Twitter at BlockDrops Pod or Xerox Mauricio. We're on Lens at BlockDrops.Lens. We have a newsletter on LinkedIn. Write to us at BlockDropsPodcast@gmail.com. And you can listen to the BlockDrops Podcast at Spotify, iColab, Fabribun Tech, and all of the other major streaming platforms. Yay! Shoutouts today to the people who shared the links you will find in the episode notes. Beto Berisha, Claudia Mancini, Carlos Arena, Sean O'Keefe, Daniel Lugondi, Simon Taylor, and Jeff Prestes. Don't forget to leave the rating on your favorite player. This is all for today. Stay rare, stay weird, LFG.